chosen on the basis of need. Sometimes it's because of illness. Sometimes it's because of tragedy. They're all picked out because of the poor condition of their homes. What makes this makeover extreme? Well, I think it's the quick way in which it's all done. Just 7 days to completely change the physical surroundings, but also the change of the family's emotional state. The place goes from mess to mansion in just a blink of an eye. Each episode begins with the team surprising the unsuspecting family with news that they have been chosen to have their home be made over. And then viewers witness not only the unbelievable transformation of the house, but during the final and emotional reveal, they see how the home makeover has impacted the lives of each of those family members. And so it's called Extreme Makeover. Home Edition. It's also the title of the message this morning. Extreme Makeover, Home Edition. If I were to give the message a subtitle today, it would be, As for Me and My House. And so, good morning, Calvary Assembly of God family. Get packed for your limo ride in our scramble to do an extreme makeover of your family in about 15, 20 minutes. An extreme makeover of your family's service to the Lord. So would you turn with me to the book of Joshua, please? Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. We'll begin with verse 14. Joshua chapter 24, with beginning with verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we serve the Lord, for He is our God. May the Lord add His blessing to His word this morning. It all began with a disenchanted and frustrated Seventh-day Adventist preacher. He began feeling unappreciated and misunderstood. He moved into a new theology and developed a core group of followers called the Branch Davidians. He changed his name from Vernon Howell to David Koresh. Among his followers were a group of men, women, and children who formed a new cult. They barricaded themselves in a compound outside of Waco, Texas. Most of you know the story. It's not happened not that long ago. It's still fresh in our minds. When reports came forth of the hoarding of illegal arms, ammunition, and explosives, the federal agents became involved in a horrible situation that led to the deaths of those in the compound. Among those in the group that day were precious children who had no idea of what was going on. Decisions we make now affect others later. There were many in our country who already hated the United States government. For many reasons, they were looking for an excuse to justify the violence that they wished desperately to commit. Some young men decided to take advantage of this and developed a bomb out of fertilizer and fuel oil and parked a truck in front of the federal building in Oklahoma City. The most horrible act of domestic terrorism in the United States up to that point occurred when that bomb blew up, destroying the federal building. Again, among that group were precious children who had no idea of what was going on. Some decisions are large and affect many people. Some decisions are small and may only affect ourselves. However, most of the time, we are unaware that the decisions we make will lead to ways we have not even thought of. In the book Point Man, Steve Farrar tells the story of George McCluskey. How many of you have ever heard of him? Doesn't matter. When McCluskey married and started a family, he decided to invest 1 hour a day in prayer because he wanted his kids to follow Jesus. After a time, he expanded his prayers to include his grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And every day between 11 a.m. and noon, he prayed for three generations of people. As the years went by, his two daughters committed their lives to Christ and married men who went into full-time ministry. The two couples produced four girls and one boy. Each of the girls married a minister, and the boy became a pastor. The first two children born to this generation were both boys. Upon graduation from high school, the two cousins chose the same college and became roommates. During their sophomore year, one boy decided to go into the ministry. The other didn't. He undoubtedly felt some pressure to continue the family legacy, but he chose instead to pursue his interest in psychology. He earned his doctorate and eventually wrote books for parents that became bestsellers. He started a radio program heard on more than 1,000 stations each day. The man's name? James Dobson. Through his prayers, George McCluskey affected far more than one family. The decision he made was irrevocable and altered not only his life, but the lives of millions of others. Some decisions that we make are large and affect many people. Those decisions, when we're making those decisions at the time, we have no idea that they're big decisions and how many people they will affect. Let us read of a decision which was made in the Scriptures, a decision that every single one of us need to make. And it will affect our destiny, but it will affect not only our destiny, it will affect the destiny of others, reaching to generations. And Joshua's words fit any people in any time of history. So that means his words fit you and I living in our time in history. Joshua helps clear the smokescreen of life so that we can clearly see the basic issues and the basic choices open before us. And he helps us make the right choice. In this passage, he's speaking to each of us in a very profound way. First of all, if we're going to have an extreme makeover, home edition, we need to do what Joshua did. And we are to be admonished to remember God's previous provisions. Remember God's previous provisions. We're not going to take the time this morning to read Joshua 23 and chapter and 24, but if you were to look at those chapters today, they would provide a record of what God had done for Israel. Joshua did not want his people to forget their religious heritage. The Israelites had to realize that it was Almighty God who had rescued them from Egypt. He is the one that brought them forth. He is the one that delivered them. He is the one that saved them from all of their enemies, the Amorites, the Amalekites, as well as the Egyptians. In miraculous ways, God had defeated everybody who had opposed them. Chapter 24 recites the gracious acts of God in Israel's behalf from patriarchal times until the occupation of Canaan. Verses 2 through 4 summarize the theme of God's act of grace to the patriarchs. Verses 5 through 7 tell of God's assistance in Israel's deliverance from Egypt. Verses 8 through 10 tell of the events of Transjordan. Verse 11 through 13 tell of the Canaanite occupation. Not only had God saved them from their enemies, He had also sustained them while they were in the wilderness. Even when they were in the roughest of the desert, God had provided bread. He had provided manna from heaven. And when that wasn't enough, He rained down quail as well. He also gave them the water that they needed to drink. He loved them. And this is an important point too, because one of the greatest needs any individual has is for love. And God loved His people. He not only provided for their physical needs, but He demonstrated His love for them over and over again. Even when they became stiff-necked and hardened and began to murmur against Him, God continued to demonstrate His love. This day we must recognize that God alone meets our real needs. He is the one that has provided for our life. And we need to take time every now and then to stop and look and listen. In all our consuming self-sufficiency, we need to recognize God's all-important place. It is God who brought us here. It's God who brought you here today. It is God who has brought you to this place in your life. He has given you life. He sustains you. He guides you each day. And you know that great longing for love? He loves you. He loves you so much more than you could ever comprehend. Would you turn with me to Psalm 46? Keep your finger there in Joshua 24. Don't lose it. Psalm 46. May we this day say with the psalmist, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah, the word Selah means pause and think about that. Look at verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You see, in order to make the right choices in life, you need to have the right facts. The fact is that God loves you more than anybody else. The fact is that He is a God who saves you. He sent His Son to die on the cross for your sins. Once you have received Him as your Savior, He is a very present help. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He has promised to meet all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And so if you're going to make the right choices in life, you need to know the truth. You need to remember God's care, His provision, His love. It is expressed most beautifully in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Would you say this verse with me? Don't just say it from rote memory, but think about it as you say it today. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can we read that one more time? But I want you to change that word, the words whosoever, and put your name in there. All right? Let's do it again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that Rick Mannon believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you remember God's past provisions? Remember what He has done for you in the past? And then secondly, we are admonished to fulfill our covenant obligations. Look at verses 14 and 15 of Joshua 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You notice that God wants to be your supreme, have your supreme allegiance. He wants to be the only God. He doesn't want to share you. He alone wants to claim your allegiance. The Israelites had quite a problem. Their allegiance was somewhat inconsistent. Even after seeing God at work, they continued to hold on to the gods of Egypt. They also had a practice of mixing the worship of God with the idolatrous elements from heathen religions. And though they were not as open in their mixed allegiance as their forefathers, they still had not totally committed themselves to the Lord. And so Joshua commanded them to put away all other allegiances and to serve the Lord. They were commanded to serve Him in sincerity and truth. Know that this means that for the first time, for the very first time in their existence, in their history, they were to serve God without hypocrisy. They were to serve Him in simplicity and truth of heart. And you know, if you want to have your family completely made over and sold out to the Lord, you as fathers, me as fathers, us as fathers, we have to set the example and we have to serve the Lord without hypocrisy. We have to serve Him in sincerity and truth. And that will have a tremendous impact under those that are under our authority and those that we influence. And the proof of their allegiance then was found not in words of promise, but in service to God out of a committed heart. You know, we can give lip service and we can say that we're going to serve the Lord, but that doesn't mean anything until we actually begin to live the life of service. Our actions speak much louder than our words. And if we wanted to see an extreme makeover done in our family, we have to set the example with our lifestyle. And so Joshua is calling them to a new level of faithfulness, a new level of commitment in fulfilling the covenant. And I would challenge you today, too, that we need to rise to a new level of faithfulness. W.M. Collins, the pastor at Kilbourne Park Baptist in Columbia, South Carolina, used this article in Pastor's Word. The pastor was asked to define faithful attendance. He replied, "All I ask is that we apply the same standards of faithfulness to our church that we would apply to other areas of life. If your car starts one time out of three, do you consider it faithful? If the paperboy skips Monday and Thursday's editions, is he faithful? If you fail to come to work two or three times a month, would your boss call you faithful? If your refrigerator quits for a day now and then, do you excuse it and say, 'Oh, it works most of the time'? If your hot water greets you one or two days a week with cold water, would it be faithful?" Oh, we go through that at our house right now. In fact, yesterday or 2 days ago, everybody's complaining about cold showers. They asked me to check the furnace or the water tank. Thought maybe the pilot light went out or something. One of our children must have gotten in there, turned it down to vacation. We were blaming the hot water heater. We didn't think it was very faithful. If you miss two mortgage payments in a year's time, would your mortgage holder say, "Oh, well, 10 out of 12 payments isn't bad"? If you made it to football, basketball, or band practice one time in four, would you start the game? See, one thing is required of servants. One thing. Moreover, it is required in servants that a man be found faithful. That's what God is looking for. God is looking for people who are faithful to their master. And so He says, put away other gods. Stop mixing your allegiance with Me with wrong motives and purposes. Rather than making grand statements, we must show our love by living for Him. Not out of guilt or habit, but out of love for Him. And then number three, if we're going to do a total makeover in our home, we are admonished to declare publicly our loyalty. Declare publicly our loyalty. Joshua led Israel in a public declaration to the Lord. And the people declared that they would not forsake the Lord. Look at verse 16. The people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord is our God. He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed." Where did they get that idea? They got it because Joshua had just admonished them about the past. And when they understood God's faithfulness in the past, they said, "God forbid that we should have other gods." And so they affirmed their allegiance to Him, and the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And so Joshua set up a stone for the people to remember this declaration. Verse 24, and the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve. His voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. Nothing helps God's people more to show the seriousness of their commitment than by making some kind of public declaration. And I would challenge you all to do that, to continue to make public declarations of your loyalty to God. It might be a testimony. You might be able to stand up sometime and declare your loyalty to the Lord and give a testimony on His behalf. It might be through water baptism if you have not been baptized in water. I would challenge you to make that public declaration. Hey, I have chosen to serve the Lord. I am going to let the world know that my allegiance is to God. And so to show this inward commitment that I have made in my heart, I'm going to make this public act of baptism. There might be some that need to do that. We do that when we partake of communion and the Lord's Supper. We pass out the communion emblems, and every one of you that takes one, you are publicly saying that I am a Christian, that I am part of the Lord's body, and I'm not ashamed of that, but I want everybody to know. Maybe it's through joining the church. Maybe there's some here, you've been coming here, you feel it. You want to become a part of us. Now, everybody's a part of us, everybody that attends. But I think there is also something special about becoming a member. It's by making a declaration that you are joining this local body of believers. And it's a declaration to the world that you are part of a church. I want to draw your attention back to verse 15. Here Joshua lays it all down. He says, choose ye this day whom ye will serve. As he puts forth that all-important question, it too is a decision that we all must make. Choose. Do it right away. He said, choose this day whom ye will serve. Will we continue to waver in our commitment? The time has come for life commitment. No more wavering. No more hesitating. I've made the decision. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Elisha asked the same question, convicting the people of his day. People weren't sure, were they going to follow Baal? Were they going to follow the God of Israel? They're there. The prophet says, why do you halt? Or why do you hesitate between two opinions? Get off the fence. If God is God, then serve Him. If He's not God, well, don't bother with it. Don't worry about serving Him. But if He is really God, then you had better serve Him. And the people fell upon their faces as they saw what happened at Mount Carmel, as the fire from heaven came down, consuming the sacrifice that the prophet had placed on the altar. You know the story. He poured buckets of water over that thing to try to keep it from igniting. But there was nothing that could keep it from God's fire as He came to consume the sacrifice, the water, the dust, the whole bit. And the people fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. I want you to think today about all that God has done in your life. The miraculous things that have happened to you. The fact that you are even here today because He's the one that's given you life. Consider all that He has done. And you know what our response should be? Our response should be to fall up on our faces and say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And I have made my decision that I will serve Him. I will commit to Him. And I will give Him my full loyalty and my full allegiance. Paul put it this way, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, in light of everything that God has done, it is only reasonable that I should offer my life and lay it on the altar as a living sacrifice to Him. You know what I'm trying to do today? I'm trying to get you to go one way or the other. That's really it. And if you're going to serve the Lord, I'm encouraging you today to jump in with both feet. You will never, ever be disappointed. You know, it's really only as the more we commit, the more blessing we have. And I would just encourage you to do that today. Answer not with words. I'm not interested in words today. I'm interested in what happens from here on out. I'm interested in your lives. The time has come for life commitment. Joyous dedication. Remembering that Jesus said, "He that is not for me is against me." Joshua made his decision in the last part of verse 15. As for me and my house, as for me and my family, there's going to be a total makeover. We're going to serve the Lord. Can you say that today? Whether anyone else chose God's way, Joshua decided that he would. Don't look around you today. Don't be concerned about what everybody else is going to do. You make this decision for yourself. The prophet Joel said, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Yeah, there are multitudes that are in the valley. They need to make the decision, but each person has to make that decision for themselves. Many of you today have a family following you. You have great influence. You have friends following you. Maybe a neighbor following you. Where are they following you to? Will they follow you in service to the Lord? And so your life could impact multitudes of people. What will your decision be? It's your choice. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed today. Is there anybody here? Say, I want to receive Jesus into my heart as my, and I want Him to be my Lord. I want Him to be my Savior. I have not publicly asked, and I know the heads are bowed and the eyes closed, and in a sense, it's not public, but you're doing it in a public meeting, and my prayer is that you publicly tell somebody afterwards. But is there anybody here you would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm in that valley of decision. I have not committed yet to the Lord. I'm still not totally committed. I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about making a commitment. I've been thinking about receiving Christ, asking Him to forgive me of my sins and come into my life, be my Savior, be my lifelong companion. I thought about it. But I can't say that He has my allegiance. I've not yet declared that. But you're here today, and today you're saying yes to Jesus. Remember, if you don't say anything, you're saying no. And so you need to say yes. That's the choice. Is there anybody here, by a raised hand, you say, Pastor, I want to... Would you pray for me? I want to receive Jesus as my Savior today. I receive Him into my life. Is there anybody? Is there anyone? Is God speaking to you, Christian? Saying, I want you to do something publicly for me. Maybe it's next time there's a testimony service. I want you to stand up. I want you to give a testimony for me. Maybe you're here today and you've never been baptized in water and you'd make the decision. Next time you have that chance, next time you have the opportunity, you'll do it. Maybe the Lord is calling you to talk to me about becoming a member of the church where you can come publicly and demonstrate that commitment. Maybe the Lord is speaking you to witness to a neighbor, to a friend, to a coworker? Would you be willing to do that? And would you be willing to join with Joshua and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to make it over. Our home is going to be a different place. We're going to be faithful to the Lord, and we're going to serve Him. If you're making any of those commitments today, could you just seal them with a raised hand, up and then down? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for this example. True example from your word. The life of Joshua. We thank you for these true life illustrations like Brother James Dobson. Lord, we want to make that commitment today as well, that we will serve you. That, Lord, as fathers and grandfathers, we'll pray for our children and our grandchildren. We will set an example, not with words, but how we live our lives, that we will serve you. And then bless each one. Lord, we know that when there is total commitment, you bless in ways that we cannot even imagine. And we thank you for that. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing that.